Alrighty, Chaf Vav Amar Aleph, 26a. We were just talking about, yesterday we talked all about Shem and Srefa, but at the end we were talking about using the sap from a balsam tree, the tsur. So, the pasuk, the Gemara then says, Hahi chamasa tahavasanya lalachalsa. Remember that we had just said that part of the reason, one of the reasons why sap is not good to be used for sap from a balsam tree is not good to be used for hadlakas neros is because it's volatile. The fire is very aggressive or uncontrollable. So here's a very interesting story. Not sure why the Gemara feels the need to say it, but it's connected to that concept. So mother-in-law didn't like her daughter-in-law, so she said to her, "Zil ikasht ikshit b'mishcha da'afarsima." So go adorn yourself with some oil of a balsam tree. So Azla Ikshet, so she did. Ki Asas Amr La Zil Isla Shraga, go light the candles. So Azla Asla Shraga, she lit the candles. Infach Banura V'achalta. The fire, because it was uncontrollable, actually caught fire to her. Okay, that's all we should say. Kind of crazy story. But Umidalas Ha'aret Hishir Nivuzradan Rav Tabach M'chor M'lokovim. So the Pasuk says in Yirmiyahu, some interesting words that Nebuzradran, who's the captain of the Tabachim, technically the butlers, but here in Safari it says the poorest of the land, to be Chormim, which is a reference to vineyards, Uliyogvim, and to, not exactly sure what that means, but here in the Safari it says husbandmen. I don't know what that is. But the Gemara tells us what it means. Yeah.
Husbandmen are people who raise animals, animal husbandry.
Okay. So the Gemara has its own interpretation of what these people are. So Karmim Tani Rav Yosef Eil Malakta Afar Simon Me'en Gadi V'Ad Maramasa. Those are the people that gathered the balsam sap from En Gedi until Ramasa. Yogvim Eil Tzayadi Chilazan Musulamos Shotzur V'Yad Haifa. The people, the Yogvim, these husbandmen, in its literal sense, are a reference to those who go up the coast from Tzur to Haifa and find the Chilazon, which is used for making Tzcheles. So it's actually an important Gemara in order to substantiate their modern claims of what Tzcheles looks like. Part of it is based on the location of this Gemara that it's talking about here, where they found shells and caves, etc. Okay, Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Madlikim Metevel Tamei Bachol. One should not use non-tithed produce for the sake of a fire. Ve'ein Tzarech Lomer B'Shabbos, and of course you couldn't use it on Shabbos. So Kayotze Bo Ein Madlikim Meneft Lavan Bachol. You shouldn't use white naphtha during the week, and you certainly shouldn't do it on Shabbos. So Bishlam and Neft Lavan, the reason you can't use the white naphtha, Bibnei Shu Af, because it's volatile, just like the balsam tree. Aval Tevel Tame Mai Taima, why shouldn't you use untithed produce? You're allowed to use, which is impure. You're allowed to use impure truma, so even if you're going to take the truma off, you're still allowed to burn it. So why wouldn't you be allowed to burn it before it's taken off? If the same thing's going to happen to it anyway. So interesting. Drasha here. Amar Kravani Hinei Nesati L'Chas Mishmeres Trumosai. We learned this yesterday. I think yesterday's daf. There are two types of trumos that Hashem tells us to give to the Kohen. Bishtei trumos tokas medaber. Achas truma tahora ve'achas truma tamea. One is pure truma, which the Kohen could eat. And one is truma tamea, which is impure truma that the Kohen is not allowed to eat. So ma truma tahora ein lecha ba el mishas haram ve'el. Just like with the pure truma, you're only allowed to give it. You're only supposed to give it when you tithe it and you give. You don't give it over by tevel. Ach truma tamea ein lecha ba el mishas haram ve'elach. The concept of this truma tamea, which is usable, is only once you give it over. Even if it's tame, and the kohen can't physically eat it. In any other way, you have to actually burn it. So even though that's the case, and you could burn the other parts anyway, you still have to take the truma off and then give it to the kohen. Okay, keep in mind the opinions that we're about to say, because we're going to be using it for a couple paragraphs. So Gufa, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ein Madlikin B'Tzri, V'chein Hai Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tzri Eino Ela Seraf Me'atzeak Taf. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says, you're not supposed to light with Tzri, which we said before was sap from the balsam tree. So you're not supposed to light with that. We already said that. V'chein Hai Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Tzri Eino Ela Seraf Me'atzeak Taf. And also this Tzri is only the sap from the tree, from the balsam tree. Rabbi Shmuel Omer Kol Yotzmin Eitz Yomer, anything that comes from a tree, you're not supposed to light. Okay, so Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar says sap no good. Rabbi Shmuel says anything from a tree is no good. Rabbi Shmuel ben Baruch Omer Ein Madlikin Ela BeYotzmin HaPri, you can only light with things that come from a fruit or the product of a tree, but not the tree itself. Okay, Rabbi Tarfon Omer Ein Madlikin El Mashavas Shemen Zayis Bavad. Rabbi Tarfon says you're only allowed to use olive oil. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Al Raglav Amar Ma'asu Anshei Bavel Shein Lehem El Shemen Shum Shemen. Actually, I'm confused. We're going to need Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar later, not this time. Amar Rabbi Yochanan got up and said, "Wait a second. What are the people in Babylonia going to use? They only have sesame seed oil. Ma'asu Anshei Madai Shein Lehem El Shemen Agozim. And what are the people in Madai going to use? They only have the oils of nuts. Umayasu Anshi Alexandria, Shein Lehem Ela Shemen Sinonos. And in Alexandria, they only have radish oil. Umayasu Anshi Kapotkia, Shein Lehem Lokach Lokach. They don't have anything Ela Neft. They only have Nafta. Ela Ein Lecha Ela Mash Amr Chachamim Ein Malikin. The only things you have to follow is that what the Chacham said, I think they said the fats, you're not supposed to use the fats, but anything else, you're allowed to use for oil. Okay, and therefore there's no problem over there. Madikin Shem is Damag B'Yitran. You're allowed to use the oil of fish, I assume it's the fat, fish oil, and tar. Rabbi Shimon Shazuri Omer, Madikin Shem Pakuos V'Neft, Rabbi Shimon Shazuri says you're allowed to use gourd oil and nafta. Sumchus Omer Kol Yotzim Min Habasar Emelikin Ba El Shavas B'Shem Dagen. Anything that comes out of animals, of meat, you're not allowed to light, except for fish oil. So Sumchus Hanet Tanakama. Sumchus just repeated that you're allowed to use fish oil. We already heard that from the Tanakama. So Ika Binayu Derav Brona Amarav Lozim Saimi, as we said a couple of dapim ago, the difference between them is whether or not you can mix those things with you can mix the non-good oils with the good oil, but we just don't know who holds which. Okay, now we need to remember these shitas. Tani Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer Kol Yotzim Min Ha'Etz Emel Mishum Shalosh Al Shalosh Masachin Bo Chutz Mipeshtan. So there's a halacha that something is not going to give over tumah unless it's 3 by 3 finger breadths. Okay, very small amount, but Rishon ben Elazar Omer that anything that comes from a tree is not considered to be within this category. You can never have something tame. You can never have something impure, which is from a tree, as long as you cut it off the tree. And you can therefore use it as schach, chutz mi pishtan, except for linen, which is possible to become tame. This, by the way, this gemara is very important for a lot of different things. In terms of taras mishpacha, you know, toilet paper and tzitzis, what materials you're allowed to use for tzitzis and stuff like that. But just to keep you aware, this gemara, which talks about what kind of materials are considered to become tame, is important to figure out other gemaras like think about in modern day terms. If I remember the conversation correctly. Modern day terms, there's a question about synthetic materials. So the question comes up about these two shitas, and we'll see how exactly that works in terms of how they understand the barometer or the threshold to be a tame material. So here, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar starts us off and says that the only tree issue, the only issue with tree materials, is if it's linen. Everything else And even if it's more than 3x3, okay? So Amar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon Elazar v'tana d'vei Rabbi Shmuel Amru Dovar Achad. Abaye says that's the same shita. Rabbi Shimon Elazar's shita is the same as Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shimon Elazar had the Amar. We just said Rabbi Shimon Elazar's shita, and that is anything which comes from a tree is not makabel tuma. The only thing that is linen, and the 3x3 doesn't make any sense. Doesn't matter. Tana de Rabbi Shmuel Mahi, Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, Ho'ol v'nyamru begadim b'tor, the Torah tells us the word begadim in a couple of different places, b'tor stam, u'part l'cha'akasu v'echar mehem tzemru pishtim. And one time it refers to how begad means wool or linen, I think by tzaras. Suma l'halan tzemru pishtim, just like that case of tzaras is wool and linen. I've called Semro Pishtin. Also, every other time it ever says the word beged in the Torah is a reference to wool and linen. A big, big statement. So according to Abaye, that statement of Rabbi Shmuel is the same as the statement of Rabbi Shimon Elazar. Just like Rabbi Shimon Elazar says anything that comes from a tree is not going to give off impurity except for linen, so too Rabbi Shmuel says the only thing that can give off impurity that comes from a tree is linen, and also wool, which doesn't come from a tree. Comes along Rava. And Rava says, Rava Amar Shlosha al Shlosha Bishar Begadim Ika Benayu. There is, however, a difference between Rabbi Shimon Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael in the case of 3x3 hand breadths, not by 3x3 finger breadths. And it's specifically in reference to other non-tree materials. So let's say wool, for instance. What does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar think about wool? I don't know about wool, but let's say cotton. What does Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar think about cotton? Right? So when it comes to cotton, according to Rabbi Yishmael says the only thing, when the Torah says beged, it only includes wool and linen. Everything else is nothing. Everything else is pointless. Everything else is nothing in terms of purity. It's always going to be fine. Rava, however, says no. Rabbi Shimon Elazar islay. Rabbi Shimon Elazar thinks that even cotton, I'm just using cotton as an example, but anything besides wool and linen, if it's 3x3 tfachim, if it's 3x3 hand breadths large, so then Rabbi Shimon Elazar thinks there is tuma. Latana de Rabbi Shmuel islay, but according to Tana de Rabbi Shmuel, he thinks literally only wool and linen can get tuma. And even cotton would not get tuma. Regardless, according to both of them, everyone thinks that 3x3 hand breadths by wool and linen, those are tame. Those can become tame when it comes to tzaras. So, how do you know? The Tanya, the Braisa says, beged, ein li ela beged, shalosh ha-shalosh minayin, tamalobar v'ha beged. They make a drasha based on v'ha beged, that's a reference to the fact that you need to be it has to be 3x3 finger breadths large. Ve'ema l'rabo shlosha shlosha. Maybe the pasuk is coming to teach me that it's supposed to be 3x3 hand breadths. Shlosha shlosha is a tfachim language. So lav kavachomer who isn't that a kavachomer? Why would the pasuk have to teach us? Hashe shasti ve'erev mitame shlosha 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 mivaya. Once you say that even a smaller amount is going to create tuma. So why wouldn't a larger amount also create tuma? Why would we need the pasuk to tell us that? Or I guess shesi v'erev is a reference to tzaras from before this, I think. Either way, so they say that wouldn't make any sense that the pasuk would be teaching us about 3x3 tefachim. So ihach, he says the Gemara shalosh hashalosh nami leisei b'kavachomer. Maybe 3x3 finger breadths also would be brought by a kavachomer. You wouldn't need the pasuk to tell us. So el shalosh hashalosh tachazu bein lashim bein laniim. When it comes to 3x3 tefachim, everyone's going to agree that it's possible to make it tame because that's an actual useful implement. It's a useful amount of cloth for anybody. For a rich person, for a poor person, that's a substantial amount. You could use that. That amount of material. So for staff, something like that, which applies to everybody, you can use that amount of cloth. You can, and therefore, it's going to be tame according to this kavachomer from the pasuk. So, but shalosh shalosh, which is much less.
Still need to be chassis v'erev. So, in other words, felt, would that be excluded because it doesn't have a chassis v'erev?
No, I think the thing about chassis v'erev is if even chassis v'erev for a much smaller amount is going to be impure, so too for something which is even bigger, shlosha al shlosha, of course you would learn. It doesn't necessarily have to say that.
That's what I'm saying, but felt would be the exception.
I'm telling you that shlosha al shlosha doesn't have to be felt, doesn't have to be shasiv erev. It's just that saying shasiv erev in its small amount is tame. So of course anything else which is a bigger amount should be tame.
I'm saying maybe the reason we said chassis v'erev is because it needs to be that pattern in order to be considered a fabric. But the reason we see 3x3 is because it needs to be that size. So the two, maybe it has to be the two, and felt wouldn't be included.
So it happens to be both. It happens to be that that's a correct halacha or a machlokas, whether or not things that aren't chassis v'erev require things that aren't chassis v'erev wouldn't be tame. And I think we talked about it when it came to tzitzis, whether you need to have to weave things together and remember the strips of leather, etc. But I don't think on a logical level that would be an obvious claim from this Gemara. It's not necessarily the case because this is just talking about sizes of things, I think.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Take maybe the chassis v'erev issue is not about the size. That's about that it requires both these things. So it almost draws chassis v'erev out of the discussion of size. So therefore, what about
the size? I hear what you're saying, but that's not what the Gemara is. The Gemara is not saying that. I mean, that could be a separate discussion, but the Gemara here is not talking about that. Hashu chassis v'erev mitame means that if chassis v'erev, which is much smaller, can become impure, so something which is shlosha shlosha, of course, would become impure. It has nothing to do with chassis v'erev in that statement. It's a valid conversation otherwise, but I don't think here. Ihachi shlosha shlosha says Gemara, so why doesn't 3x3 finger breasts also have that same kavachomer from chassis v'erev? El shlosha shlosha techazu bein hashim bein aniyim, because it's a larger size, so we can all assume that would be considered impure or mekabel tumah, could gain impurity because of its usefulness. Shalosh shalosh, however, something which is only 3x3 finger breadths, la'anim hu dechazan hashim lo chazan, it's possible that one, because it's only fit for poor people, because it's so small, the hashirim, the rich people, wouldn't use it. So because of that, so maybe you would think that you're not allowed to apply that to a kav chomer, because maybe it's not a substantial enough cloth to get that application. So tam dechaz v'kra, halokas v'kra, lo gamirin b'kav chomer. The only reason that we know that a 3x3 finger breast is a problem, or is mekabel tumah, is because of the pasuk. If it wasn't for the pasuk, we could not learn it from a kav v'chomer. So then the Gemara says, ve'emel rabo shlosha shlosha b'shar begadim. Maybe it says, maybe the whole point of the pasuk is not to teach us about shlosha shlosha, which is something we wouldn't know otherwise, by linen and wool. So maybe the pasuk is coming to teach us something else that we wouldn't have known otherwise, which is that shlosha shlosha, 3x3 hand breadths, tfachim, would also be tamei for non-semru pishtim, non-linen and wool begadim. So amar kara begad semru pishtim. Now the pasuk specifically says wool and linen. I assume that's by Taras. Begad semru pishtim in midiach rinilo, that only wool and linen can be mekabel tumah and nothing else. This, by the way, is only going to be according to Rabbi Shmuel, which we saw earlier. We'll see that in a second. Ema kima mishalosh ashalosh aval shlosh ashalosh mitame. Maybe the only time that non-linen and wool are going to be the only time that non-wool and linen are not going to be tame is when it's such a small amount. But maybe it's shlosh ashalosh. Maybe if it's bigger, so then it would be mitame. Maybe that pasuk of beged semru pishtim is only telling us about a small amount of other materials. So the Gemara says, no, tre miyute ksivi. No, it's really talking about two separate nuances in the pasuk that teaches both. That even if it's a small amount or if it's a big amount, only linen and wool are going to be pure, impure, or impurifiable. Beged semer obe beged pishtim, chalim ute mishlosh ha-shlosh, chalim ute mishlosh ha-shlosh. I'm not exactly sure how you get the drasha, but either way, that's how the Gemara says it. that it excludes both small and big cloths made of other materials like cotton. Ulrava de Amar Shlosh Ashlosh, but according to Rava, who explained that Shlosh Ashlosh Bashar Begadim Ikabirayu, that there's a distinction, there is a machlokas between Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar and Rabbi Yishmael when it comes to other begadim like cotton. There's a machlokas whether or not more than 3 by 3 hand breaths would be tameh. So the Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar islay. According to Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, we do think that other materials like cotton could become tameh for more than 3 by 3 hand breaths. Latan de Rabbi Yishmael islay. But for Tan de Rabbi Yishmael, according to Rava, he thinks that for other begadim, shlosha shlosha b'shar begadim, so Rabbi Yishmael thinks that for those types of things, you could still, for other types of materials, he doesn't think it becomes tameh, even if it's shlosha al shlosha, even if it's 3 by 3 hand breaths. So how does he know? So nafka.
What's his source for that case?
Right.
Like he wouldn't say it because he doesn't have a source. So what is his source?
Hold on. Rava just said. No, Rava. So I mixed them up. Rava just said. Rava is the one that said. Rabbi Shimon Elazar thinks that they can become tameh because. It can become tame because this pasuk is telling us you can't become tame. Right. So before it made sense because Abai is the one that says everyone agrees that only wool and linen can become tame, nothing else. Rav is the one that says that they disagree. Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the one that says that they do agree. No, Rabbi Shimon Elazar is the one that says that they can become tameh. Other materials like cotton can become tameh. Rabbi Shmuel says they can't become tameh. So they can't become tameh. Right, they can't become tameh. Shlosh ha-shlosh b'shar begadim menale. How does he know that other begadim can't become tameh? So nafka mi obeged. He learns it out from Obeged. Is that the same drasha we just said? The time Obeged ainly el Obeged shlosha shlosha b'shar begadim minayim time lomer Obeged. I think it's just a repetition of the same drasha.
Right, but it's applying it to this machlokas.
Okay. The more important machlokas is, or the more important, the more chiddush of a statement is for Abaye. How does Abaye know that that other begadim can become tameh? Right. So the question is, what does he do with this drasha? Abaye, hi Obeged my avid lay. So he uses it for a much more specific case of using 3 by 3 finger breaths of wool and linen that they can be tameh even with a small amount of little bugs. Okay, and we'll have to do the ongoing chase about, well, how does Rava say about that, and how does Abaye say about that, and then we'll have to continue doing it until someone just gives up and says, yeah, I don't read it like that. So we'll get to that tomorrow, but until then, there is a important but technical machlokas about whether or not other begadim besides wool and linen can contract tuma. According to Rabbi Shimon Elazar, they cannot. And according to... No, they can. They can contract tuma, according to Rava. And according to Rabbi Yishmael, the only things that are ever going to be contract tuma are wool and linen. And this machlokas continues all the way until today about how we paskin. Okay. Shkayach, everyone. Sorry to... I'm glad I could...
Have we given any thought to what we're going to do for a 3-day Yom Tov?
I actually haven't. I'm not sure. What do you have? Any propositions?
Honestly, I was thinking if you could somehow distribute for those who don't have an art scroll.
You know, I was good. I actually did think about this last week. I was thinking about reaching out to art scroll and asking them. Would that be worthwhile for people? I assume because Aaron's asking, that it would.
If I had the art scroll